The Guardian.
Hello and welcome to The Guardian Film Show. We're back from Cannes with a tan, but without a Zan. He's coming home via his preferred method of transport, the Guardian dinghy. Godspeed, Captain Brooks, and keep taking the salt tablets. In the meantime, here's what's coming up on this week's show. A wannabe stand-up's confidence takes a knock-knock in Brit indie drama The Comedian. And Deborah Francois leads the charge to make Azerty quirky in Populaire, a French comedy about a world champion typist. But first, let's sink our teeth into Byzantium, director Neil Jordan's blood-soaked yarn. Based on the play by Moira Buffini, this stars Gemma Arterton and Saoirse Ronan as mother and daughter vamps combing the British seaside in search of fresh blood. Look for the Heart of Darkness in Hastings, where a cursed cave holds the secret to eternal life for Clara, Gemma Arterton, and her daughter Eleanor, Saoirse Ronan. Hot on their scent are the Brotherhood, a bro pack of bloodsuckers led by evil Johnny Lee Miller, intent on keeping the Vampire Club boys only. Things could get bitey. Joining me now to drink their armful are our film critic Peter Bradshaw and our film editor Catherine Shord. Peter, there's been hundreds of vampire movies recently. Does this bring anything new to the genre?
I'm not sure it does bring anything wildly new. It is quite enjoyable. In some ways, it's Neil Jordan's most effective film for a while. I didn't expect to like it very much, but it's quite amusing. It's like a kind of vampire EastEnders, really, and Gemma and Saoirse are like the Slater sisters, sort of turning up at this seaside town to wreak havoc and mayhem. It's quite enjoyable, but it's pretty soapy.
Catherine, Neil Jordan's got form in that he did Interview with the Vampire, which came before Twilight and everything like that. Does this give you enough to get your teeth into, do you think?
I think the vampiric elements aren't especially exciting for me. What I liked was the atmosphere of Hastings and you know, you've got all the sort of, I know it's not in Thanet, Hastings, but I like all the kind of, wrecked splendour of the seaside town and the cabbages and the dreadful kind of piano lounges and all that. That's sort of really nicely done and really takes it beyond a play into something much more interesting. I think Gemma is fantastic. I think she's, you know, really perfect for this. She really sinks her teeth into it. She's like a Hammer horror heroine of old. She's really fun. I really liked her. But so much else in the film is quite sensitive and delicate, and it feels such a strange mix, all that, and I couldn't get my head around it. And then Tom Hollander comes up and sort of does his Rev performance, and it's very disconcerting. But I think he keeps you on your toes. I had quite a fun time watching it.
I wonder if it didn't really make enough of the vampire thing. Like, I felt like there was a point where they were going to go down to a kind of political right to die type thing, where she starts feeding on elderly people in the home as a way to ease her own conscience, which would be quite a nice way of dealing with the topic. But
yes,
kind of fell flat for me after.
Well, in the prologue, that's when it's at its most purely vampiric, the idea of the eternal undead, and of course that word which has now been utterly devalued, the twilight nature of the vampire, its, as it were, deracinated quality, all that was in the prologue. And the rest of it, I don't know, what I've always found is the most disturbing part of vampirism, the idea is that the prey are turned into vampires as well, whether they like it or not. That is something which is kind of removed from modern vampire stories, because now vampires are kind of nice and they're kind of good vampires. That is kind of lost. It's a little bit short of the full gallon, the full typo for me.
There comes a time in life when secrets should be told. You've got secrets, haven't you?
Neil Jordan's Byzantium there, but now let's spend some time with some other creatures of the night. Tom Skolnick's low-key drama The Comedian centres on the London comedy scene, and a melancholic stand-up who's just starting to realise that the joke might be on him.
Strimmer! Or St. River!
the patron saint of gardening.
On stage, Ed's a bundle of energy, but when the lights go down, he's a nervous wreck. His day job at a call centre destroys him, his relationships roller coaster from blissful to poisonous. He's broke and tired and plain fed up. Make as much comedy of that as you will. Catherine, real Tears of a Clown type stuff, this, isn't it?
It is, but that makes it sound a bit clichéd, I think. And it isn't. It's come out of nowhere, this film. I really just wasn't expecting it. And isn't it great? I mean, what a great film. It's sort of funny people meets mumblecore, meets Weekend, meets skeletons. And it's really great. And it's the sort of tragedy of the laughless comedian is not sort of overplayed, and it's absolutely beautifully played, and it's so atmospheric about London and about, you know, being on buses at night and all that sort of thing. And it's very unembarrassing. You know, this guy is torn between a new boyfriend and a sort of interest in his female flatmate. And it reminded me slightly, we were talking about Tom Hollander, reminded me of that film Lawless Heart from about a decade ago. And that had a very nice tone about that sort of similar topic. And it really, I really liked this film. So it was absolutely terrific.
Peter, it's a really simple but truthful view of late night London as well, I thought.
It's absolutely
not cliched
great.
At all.
I mean, like Catherine, I've only just caught up to this film. Apparently it was in the London Film Festival last year and I missed it then. I'm so glad to have caught up with it now. It's absolutely terrific. What I loved about it is that it keeps you guessing about what it's centrally about. Because I thought, oh, OK, it's about this guy. He wants to be a comedian. He's got his day job in a call centre. Obviously, he's rubbish as a comedian, and obviously his day job as a call centre is terrible and demeaning and terrible. And both those things are true. And the scene in which he goes down the pan and gets no laughs, it's stunningly real.
It hurts.
Could have been. It hurts because it's real. He's almost got it. He's almost funny, but not quite. And the other scene where he's yelled at by his boss, his awful kind of not quite funny enough to be David Brent boss for being terrible, and he starts crying out of pure humiliation. So it really was Tears of a Clown. That was almost unwatchably good because it was real. It was absolutely real. I thought it was great. And you think, well, how much does his identity as a comedian really mean to him? Maybe it's not. If he does very well, will that be the fulfillment of every single dream he's ever had? If he does badly, is that a central catastrophe in his life? Maybe not. Maybe his identity as a comedian is not very important in the film.
I think you're right in that the plotlessness of it is almost one of its benefits. I did think there was going to be a stand-up competition that he would go on to triumph at, and I'm so glad there wasn't.
Exactly. a bad film would have done that. A bad film would have done precisely that. It would have made him worse or better, but just making him almost good enough, almost convincing as a stand-up. Presumably he's never earned a penny as a stand-up in his life. What he's doing is open mic. And that culture now, which is a really interesting part of London culture, it's a kind of subsurface culture of doom, all these kind of wannabes never making it.
Reminded me a little bit of Inside Llewyn Davis, which we just saw at Cannes Film Festival, of being good at something but not good enough.
Maybe not quite good enough.
It brilliantly pictures that. And also, it's exactly the same film, actually. How weird that it's come out now. Yeah, perfect. And it's as good. It's really as good.
I saw you tonight
It was really bad, eh?
Huh?
Bad.
It wasn't bad, it was just strange. I said that, strange. Yeah.
Strange isn't a complimentary word. You wouldn't go, hey, what a strange looking baby. That would be like a compliment.
It was awesome. It was brilliant. Who told you you were funny?
Fuck you.
That's the comedian. Give him a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. He sorely needs it. Next up on stage, we've got a perky secretary who's tappity-tap-tapping her way to stardom at a typewriting competition. This is Populaire.
Elle est nulle pour tout, mais quand elle tape à la machine, elle est rapide, puissante et concentrée, tu vas voir.
It took the Thousand Monkeys a while, but here comes Populaire. Deborah Francoise, a whiz on the keys. Romain Duris, her grumpy boss, determined to lead her to the top of the speed typing league. They're like chalk and cheese, ink and Tippex. Surely this can mean only one thing. Arrow left, plus three. Peter, it's an odd thing to be a world champion at. It's also a really odd thing to centre a romantic comedy around, right? Typing.
Yeah, this film for me felt reactionary and necrophiliac about the past without being particularly classic or even very stylish. It's very clearly influenced by and sold on the Mad Men ticket, basically. It's being flogged to us as Mad Men meets The Artist, is what I've heard. There's not a very great resemblance to The Artist.
It's got Berenice Bejo in it.
It's French. It's got three actors in it, three really good actors in it, who've been really, really good in lots of other things. And here they have brought their B game, or their C game, or their Z game. It's dated, it's willfully dated, of course, but it's so cringing and clunky. It's not simply that it's imitating the reactionary kind of uncool sexual politics of the past. It has questionable sexual politics of its own, frankly.
Catherine, it's going for this kind of sports drama thing as well, in the Mighty Ducks style, almost victory, then not quite victory, then who knows, she might triumph at the end, which, considering she's hammering away on a typewriter, is a really odd mix for me, anyway, I thought.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we've all seen the titles of Murder, She Wrote, so we all know how thrilling a lady and a typewriter can be. And this really isn't, despite the kind of sports movie structure.
But the music also does that thing of having her tap away and then there's plinky music in the background.
The plinky music got on my nerves a little bit, I'm afraid, after a while. I mean, I don't think it's an absolute disaster, but I think it compares badly to something like Heartbreaker, which was that one with Romain Gary from a few years ago. And it's partly him. It's that, you know, I find him attractive as the next person. But he's too much. He's too kind of smarmy. He's always tilting his lip up. It's too much.
He's presumably trying to channel that John Hamm Mad Men thing.
Doesn't work out.
It's not
too
charming,
no.
Is it? You're right.
And also the whole sort of plot is a bit creepy. You know, he's this kind of incredibly wealthy guy with these weird issues that mean he's now suddenly desperate for his typist to be the fastest in the world. And so much so that he has to have her live with him in a non-sexual way so that he can train her. It's just his slightly strange character, honestly. It's not very lovable.
I mean, the original, the Mad Men template was to bring all that to the table, to bring all the, you know, the drinking and the smoking stuff to the table, but also show the anxiety and fear that went with it. Whereas this just totally decaffeinates it. It tries to imply that you can be as happy as children doing all this, and completely missing the point of Mad Men.
I don't know, drinking and smoking without the fear and anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
You should try it one day.
Monsieur Char reçoit tous les matins. Jeudi 10h. Oui, vous êtes monsieur Faustin. D'accord. D'accord. C'est noté. Bonne journée, monsieur Constant. C'était pas un démenté à la fin. Je ne sais pas si c'est très visible.
And that's it from us. We've come to the end of the line. We've run out of ink. Thanks very much to Peter Bradshaw and Catherine Shord for joining me. Thanks to you for watching. With a fair wind and a favourable tide, Zan Brooks will be back next week. We're off to Hastings to meet him. See you next time.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.